All right, let's take it national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The Kipper's Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, seen coast to coast on your Sportsnet platforms. 11 games on tap tonight. Six Canadian teams go at it. Mm-hmm. Calgary is in Montreal. Vancouver continues their California trip. Ottawa and Buffalo and Toronto and the Boston Bruins. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Steve Aliquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG and CEO of ClearSight Analytics, which apparently is getting more popular.
Yeah, I think he's had a couple of phone calls recently from the NHL.
As he continues our Tuesdays here,
we got
on the show.
No chance of keeping him all season.
I love watching you guys when I'm on.
Was that Doug McClain?
Nope. No. He's gonna get too busy for us, Valley. So Ottawa, Buffalo tonight.
Yeah, I think this is a pivotal game for the Buffalo Sabres.
4-7-1.
They got to find a way to kind of stay close here. Ottawa has done what they've needed to do and show everybody that they were legit in thinking that they're going to play meaningful games in March.
Mm-hmm. How about December? That would be an improvement for Ottawa.
That's a foregone conclusion.
Yes.
Now.
It is now, for
yes,
sure.
It is now. Okay, let's welcome him in. Steve Aliquette from the home office.
What's up, fellas?
Now,
hey, guys, before we start, I don't vote until. All right, so don't ask.
Oh, we're not going to get any insight on the election. You're in New York anyway, aren't you?
Just stare in the camera and I'll tell you who you voted for.
Yeah, right.
Hey, is it true now that you walk around New York City and people are starting to go, hey, isn't that Steve Aliquette from the Real Kipper and Bourne Show?
That's the guy.
I had two run-ins this week and I was so pumped. Okay, the first one, I'm on the ice and I'm training a young goalie. This guy comes up to me because he's out there playing some shinny, asks if he can shoot. He starts taking some shots and he says to me, do you think I should score from here? And I said, no, you got about a 4% chance to score. He goes, I know, I listened to you on Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, all right.
There you go. All right, so where do you want to start here? Because we got some pretty juicy conversation pieces. Tonight, Toronto and Boston, a huge rivalry. We know the Boston Bruins over the years have owned the Leafs, but is there a chance that Boston could take advantage of a guy like Austin Matthews out of the lineup?
I love this matchup because it really gives me the final measuring stick before I place a wager on Boston out. I heard Sammy's line yesterday where I guess it is a pretty decent bet still to see if it is Ottawa in Boston out. Mm-hmm. Boston right now, guys, if you're wondering how Swayman's doing and what's happening in Boston, most of it is related to the D zone. And pulled a bunch of stuff here on Boston. There, to me, non-playoff. We went back to, I believe it was October 21st when we first started talking about Boston. But listen to this, fellas. East to West in their D zone, they used to dominate. They used to have great sticks. 29th in the NHL in chances against, in East to West chances against in their D zone, where they used to be the best. Odd man rushes, 31st in the NHL against. Net front D zone, one of the best, and that was the size that we were talking about that they added to their blue line. So they're still really good at protecting around the goalie, boxing out on shots coming in from the point. But dots down D zone, they've slipped to 10th. But I think the two areas, aside from their offense that's really low plus vanilla, they're not a playoff team by any means. I think Ottawa, who I saw last week live at MSG, that dominated the Rangers. They had 40 scoring chances to the Rangers 18. If not for Shesterkin, it was a blowout. Rangers won 2-1. But I got to tell you guys, Ottawa to me is in all day.
And Ullmark and Forsberg going to be enough for that team to get across the line?
For a long time, Forsberg, I know he had the year he had last year. Ottawa was in disarray. We can go back and talk about that. We're not going to go there. Everyone there is looking forward. I love his game, okay, in perspective, Forsberg, for the role that he has with Ullmark. What does Ullmark need? He needs somebody to be a safety net. Forsberg is a safety net, and he's a quality NHL goalie that can give you big starts when you need them. And he's better than playing once every 2 weeks. He should get a start a week. I think the way that split should work would be two for Allmark and then one for Forsberg. Two for Allmark, one for Forsberg, maybe three for Allmark, one for Forsberg, but just keep it going like that. And then Allmark's happy because he gets his he gets to oil his Ferrari.
just a thought on Austin Matthews not playing tonight, but a slow start prior to Connor McDavid getting hurt, a slow start. Is there anything to this, you know, that the data will tell you, or is it just a they're just not pumping on all cylinders here to start the season?
You know what it is, guys? When you get to looking to some data and you're trying to realize if something's going to pop, you know what I've always seen is that when somebody gets to expected five goals and they are under, they always break through. And that's where Matthews is right now. At this point last year, he had 13 goals. And he's got five this year with an empty netter. And last year's 13 was all against a goaltender. And he was overshooting his average by seven. So his expected is in the same neighborhood as it is right now after 13 games. And I wouldn't expect it because I remember the Rangers playing Toronto probably third or fourth game of the season, and he only had three high danger chances. But overall, he's met up. And right now, he's really where he was last year, but snake bitten, bad luck. You know what's really funny is broken play goals. Broken play goals, those would be the lucky ones, the ones that go off a shin pad and kick to somebody in the back door. Austin has 69 goals last year. He had 13 broken play goals. The year before, he had 40 goals. He had five broken play goals. This is consistent with Pasternak's career year, Jason Robertson's career year. You can go to Mangiapane. You can go to Ovechkin's slow start last year. You can always say that broken plays reflect somebody's luck, good or bad. And in career years, guys always have double digits in broken play goals. And that's one thing teams have to guard themselves against. You don't want to play for broken play goals. You don't want to pay for them because they're not repeatable.
Stupid sport. So much luck involved.
There is. No, that's legit. There's legit luck there.
For sure. So let's talk about the Four Nations face-off, which is a big deal up here. We talk about it, every day. We don't have a goalie, Valley. What's going on? Who's it going to be for Canada and net? Is it Binnington?
Well, what I was looking at for you guys was that there are no Canadian goalies, okay?
Oh.
So in the top 20 over the last 3 years, you've got Jordan Binnington, and then you've got Logan Thompson and Laurent Brossoit. And that's it in the top 20.
Boy.
That's it. It's thin. It's thin. So I'd imagine if Aiden Hill gets going here, he could really push for a spot. But it's Jordan Binnington, and then you're really looking for help from those three guys. It would be Aiden Hill, Brossoit, Logan Thompson. And sometimes
Montembeau?
When I'm saying the names, Montembeau, Montembeau.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. And you know why? Because I just don't think he's going to have enough to carry him through a season. It's tough there in Montreal. The environment that he's in is hard. It's like looking at Swayman today, you wouldn't believe that last year he's at, when you take away all the noise and save percentage, all the shots from the neutral zone and the fluff from the walls and stuff like that, you take it all out and you look at somebody's environment. Last year, Swayman's environment was 895, and this year it's like 879. Mm-hmm. You know, so you talk about what is Boston, how does it reflect the goalie? Oftentimes when you talk to NHL goalies, they'll always talk about what they feel, what they can see on each shot. And Swayman's got a very tough environment coming back and obviously being late through training camp, et cetera.
Valley, can you pinpoint like what happened with Canadian goaltenders over the last, you know, 5, 7, 10 years? Like, is it just the kids now are listening to their parents when they say, no, no. Don't do it.
Well, I would say that there is a theory that's pretty valid with social media. Goaltenders receive the play, right? You can't compare them to a quarterback in football that's a singular position because they drive play, or a pitcher in baseball. the goalie receives play. We just talked about broken plays. You can have a bad run of cards, guys, and doubt everything. And I'm dealing with goalies from the youth level through prep school, college, and the NHL, and everybody has a degree of doubt. And when it comes, the lights are bright, and it frustrates people. And you know what's really difficult is explaining to a goalie what a bad goal is right now because of the generations that we're in. And guys, go back and watch some goals from the 80s. And it's pretty interesting because I've been able to get to know Ken Dryden. I coach his grandkids. And he was telling me about how goalies in his day, the reason why they played a stand-up style was for safety reasons, because the further you came out, the smaller the net in front of you became. So you're out there just kicking them out with your pads rather than being in harm's way in a low crouch. And he said as soon as the equipment got better, the helmets were safer, that's why goalies can back up in their crease and get into a lower stance, protect the lower part of the net. He honestly said, he's like, you think that we wanted to stand up? It was safety. So now when you look at how goalies are playing and overplaying certain situations, the injuries, I think the stress, the pressure, I think there's a lot of factors, guys. And, you know, an overuse of reverse VH is one of them. You know, I do wonder about the future of goaltending and how many kids actually want to be a goalie.
Is Sammy's favorite goalie, Freddie Anderson, like the perfect example of a guy that just once again finds himself on the shelf week to week? Can Carolina get it done without knowing for sure who their number one goalie is throughout the year?
You know, and that's why I think coming into this year, Kipper, there were a lot of teams I talked to that want to run with four $1 million goalies, you know, rather than heavy on one or two guys. And look, you could go right to Thatcher Demko. What is Vancouver's chance of really making a run without Demko, right? And 3 years ago, he has a right knee injury that really moves into a left knee injury. And now you're hearing reports that he's just going to have to play through it, you know? And what do you hear when you hear that? I hear good luck, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes, as I've said on this show, there are guys that don't mind having a couple weeks off here and there just to get a breath of fresh air and just breathe a little bit and let it breathe.
You don't think Demko's close?
I think Demko's going to be close to trying it, but is that the best thing for Demko? And I think that's just the way it's going to be for him. He is being, from what I understand and what I'm being told, he's being told that he's going to have to play through it. And that never works, fellas.
Oh, boy.
That never works. And you want to talk about, you know, we're talking about injury now and long-term health. Hey, how are you feeling about walking down your stairs sideways in your 40s because, you know, you've got knee replacements and everything? There is that. And I always wonder, I mean, back to the reverse VH, I'm not joking that I think guys are spending too much time in that move. You can't do it, fellas. When I get down on my knees and coach goalies doing this, I can feel it in my hip and my knee and my ankle. And I thought from the years of watching him with Ian Clark's a very demanding goalie coach physically, saw a lot of side to side, down the knees, hard, post to post, in and out, a lot of aggressive movement. And I think that wear and tear, there's an argument there that was, and you know what the funny thing is about the reverse VH to me? It's a low danger chance that you're preparing for, a wraparound. Mm. Those are low danger chances. Why are we spending so much time in practice on the reverse VH? I hope that goalie coaches for youth, especially for the youth kids, for the kids through high school and youth hockey, don't spend too much time down in that position. You're spending way too much time working on a move that's protecting you against a low danger chance.
Time to start drafting the 5'9" goalie again.
Oh, that's no solution. What is the solution? Well, that's what I want to know. What's the next evolution if this is kind of players know what goalies are up to now? Thank you for your insight and for my article. I just stole everything you said and wrote it.
Well, I read the article. I thought it was terrific.
Thanks.
And, you know, I mean, you guys are getting a good sense of it. It's like even watching Joseph Woll coming back now and the puck goes to the point. Parayko is a right-handed shot, but the puck goes through him on a screen. And Joseph Woll now, he's had 9 screens this year, guys. He's given up 5 goals, right? But is he a bad goalie on screens or is it the 3 touches or several seconds before it gets to Parayko that hurt him? In that goal in particular, he is in his reverse, and by the time he advances up to his feet to get to the top of the crease, he's got a screen there, but he can't differentiate if he has to look strong side over the shoulder or weak side because he was down before. Whereas, you know, you guys know I work with Henrik Lundqvist. We talk about this all the time. There aren't benefits to being down this much. And besides the health, I think you're putting yourself behind a situation. And in this sequence that I'm talking about, Wall gets up and he's looking over the weak side of the shoulder of the screen in front of him. He should be over the left side, but he's late to see it on his way transitioning from his reverse to his feet. Now a screen goes through. And again, I don't think he's bad at screens. I just think the work he does before the screen hurts his ability to assess the screen to the best of his abilities.
Valley, if we assume that there might be a few teams out there not happy with their goaltending, that John Gibson would be a name that they would first look at?
You know what, Kipper? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. John is... He's been, for 5 years, really relatively easy to beat on east-to-west plays. And I wonder about that. I think that he's an easy pre-scout, and I think in a big market, I don't know if that's exactly what he wants either. I think we would have seen him move already up at this point. I mean, it's been 5 years, you know? And I can tell you, Dostal is the second-best goalie right now in the NHL, and third-best is Anthony Stolarz. Shesterkin's number one. But the top right now is Dostal. So I'd see Gibson for sure being on the move. I just wonder why he hasn't wanted to move sooner. You know, why settle in and just, but it's nice out there. It's nice weather. I wonder if he would just get a little too comfortable and not responsible enough for me with the way he plays his game because he's so first shot focused and not worried or not focused at all at giving himself a chance to be available on east to west plays.
Belly, the other two guys on the show are being mean to me in the first hour because I thought the Leafs should get Joseph Woll back in some games, find a rhythm again. You know, I know Stolarz is playing very good. Where do you stand on the idea of, you know, of goaltenders who aren't playing well getting games or sticking with a rotation despite some struggles for one of the guys?
Yeah, no, I looked into that today too, Borny. And one thing that you notice is there is definitely a rhythm to goalies in their 50s. 50 game appearances, 50, 51, 52, 53, having Vezina seasons and still having enough gas to go through a run. Hellebuck plays 60 games, wins a Vezina, is done in the first round, right? But you go back to Shesterkin's Vezina year, he plays 53 games, and I think that's the number. You know, it's somewhere in and around 51, 52, 53. And if you can do that, the physicality of the game, it's just changed, guys. Like I know I brought this up last year, but 40% more east-to-west chances over the last 5 years. Shot quality is up. It's a tougher environment for goalies right now in the NHL. We talked last week about overall save percentage, of course. That's not going anywhere. I mean, every night, last night was one of the first nights that we've had in a long time where we had two low scores in the games. Every night, big scores. And you know what? Nobody, Kipper, you could speak to this. Nobody's playing the clock anymore. Nobody's playing the score of the game. Everybody's running. It's like, I'm like watching a lot of games. I'm like, is there any care at all? Like everyone's just running around.
You know what I get a kick out of now is that in my day, you pulled the goalie and if you tie it, you tie it. Great. But if you don't, and then they get the insurance, the goalie goes back in and you just go fight another day. Mm-hmm. Now guys are getting cracks at like 2, 3, 4 goals on empty nets. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's frustrating for the gambling world. I can tell you that, especially when you're playing unders, like you're just going to get smoked. And there's been nights here, our company, there's gambling firms that subscribe and, you know, you're watching things and I'm just like, oh my God, I don't like to gamble because, you know, hey, work hard for my buddy, but I'd hate to be trying to figure that out because there's no rhyme reason to it. You know, it's, I don't know. It's a different game, guys. I'm trying to figure out hockey every day and I feel like I'm inching closer, but it's constantly changing. If you've been out of this game for 5 years, you're coming into a brand new game. I don't care who you think you are and how much experience you think you have. It's a totally new game.
We saw New Jersey give it to the Oilers last night. Any concerns still there in net for the Oilers moving forward for you?
Yeah, I think that until the, I talked to Hank about this, and Henrik said the same thing because he covered the final last year. He just said anything that comes in east to west off the rush, I just don't feel like, you know, Skinner can get around. But I feel that it's also unfair to him too. Like, come on, the guy's in a very difficult environment, and it's supposed to be Jack Campbell, and he's supposed to be the guy that's just working his career in. And like we've talked about a little bit too, is how many goalies are getting games right now beyond where they're really ready? And to answer your question, I think things are going to be status quo there. You guys asked me last week who's taking the most bad shots or who's taking the most low danger shots. It's Edmonton. And that's always a sign to me of panic. Just throw it at the net. And you know the message is, and it can really find a way to really break down what you want to do on your team with structure and offensive schemes. Just get pucks to the net. And eventually you're just warming up the other goalie and it's going to be a long night. But the top three teams in low danger shots right now, guys, are all out of the playoffs. It's Nashville, Pittsburgh, Oilers. And I wonder sometimes if that's just a remedy for a hot goalie that you're going to get up against. It's just the way it is. And same thing on power plays. I pulled that as well too, because the low danger overall is one thing, but the low danger on the power plays, Nashville's leading the league, Islanders are next, and then Boston. And you take a lot of low danger on the power play. Again, what are you doing? You're putting the goalie into a good rhythm. You're putting the team into a good rhythm to get momentum to get out of that period.
Yeah, giving up possession too.
Giving up possession.
So you talked about Boston as a team whose underlying numbers you don't like. Edmonton's taking a lot of low danger shots. Are there any teams on the opposite side of this who the underlying numbers show as being better than maybe their actual results have been so far?
That would be a research assignment, Barney.
All right.
Because
I
don't
have
that in front of me.
Pre-show. I missed that one.
Yeah, I think once last year I got on my computer while we were talking, and I was like, this is not great radio. Yeah, that's definitely one for next week.
All right, I'm jotting it down.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. Just looking at Toronto. I mean, Toronto at 5-on-5, I think things are going to break for Toronto. Yeah. I think things are going to break out. I see... If I'm a betting guy, I'm probably going to be betting Toronto tonight against Boston. The odd man rush has been the only thing that's hurt Toronto in the league-wide scope of things. 30th off the odd man rush. You don't want to be 30th off the odd man rush at 5-on-5. But dots down D zone and east to west D zone much better this year, ranking in the top five. Net front a little weak, but not compared to Boston. I think Boston is. I think Boston's in trouble.
Well, listen, great stuff. Anything else you want to cover here?
I just want to know if he fixed Gorgiev after our last talk last week where we had him last in the league in some stats. Is he things coming around? What's going on?
He hasn't played yet. He hasn't played yet, so things stay the same.
All right.
Things stay the same until you get some games and churn around, boys.
They're getting healthy, though, too, right? They're going to get some bodies back. Colorado.
Yeah, and you know what? Colorado plays right. I've looked into them quite a bit, and I think that their D zone is very good. It's very good. They're gonna figure it out. Nope. I mean, I'm done, boys. The only thing I want here is one note for Sammy. George Parros doesn't hate the Leafs.
Very good.
I tried to explain that to him. George has got better things to do than think twice about the Leafs.
Yeah, no kidding.
My point stands. I rest my case.
Donnie, great stuff, man. Thanks for doing this, as always. Love your stuff. And have a great
pleasure,
week, okay?
Fellas. All right.
Thanks, Valley. Appreciate it, bud.
See you, boys.
That is Steve Valiquette. Does a great job. Like, again, I'm not big on analytics, but I find his numbers fascinating.
Yeah. No,
it's
a
stuff.
Unique look at a lot of this stuff, and goaltending, I think the most depressing thing from that whole chat is Canada doesn't have a goalie.
Yeah.
Listen,
Montem, no.
I'm all right with Bennington. That guy competes.
I'm in on Bennington. That's where I'm at.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. He is obviously the starting goalie. Doug Armstrong is the general manager of Team Canada. He's the general manager of the Blues.
He's won a Stanley Cup.
He's played in a bunch of huge games. He's played for Canada.
Arrogant as all hell.
Played for them at the World Juniors. Like, he's been around. He's played for Canada. He's got pedigree. Get him in there. See what happens.
His game on the weekend, for me, had... This one's going back home, coast to coast on Hockey Night in Canada. I'll show you who's going to be the Canada goalie.
He's a 903 save percentage.
You didn't get that
which
vibe?
Is above league average.
I got that vibe out of him Saturday night. He was really
he's
solid.
He's a 913 last year. He's been great. He's the guy.
There's no Leafs talk on Saturday. The only vibe I was getting was these Guinness taste pretty good. But I was watching the game at a bar. I wasn't locked in.
Save your analysis.
He looked good. He looked good.
I disagree with your analysis. I was in a bar drinking. Thanks.
No, he looked good. He looked good.
You have time to drink with all that worry about the Leafs?
You know,
they're related, I think, for him.
No, it's early season here, boys. If they lose tonight, I'll start worrying. How's that?
Fair enough. You got GT for us?
I do have some game time here. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the odds. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Ottawa Senators in Buffalo tonight. You said a huge game for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, it is.
Got to tell you, I like the Sens. I think the Sens are better. I think Buffalo's still no good, and the Sens are not that big a fave here. -120. I think it's a good number for the Sens. They're just a way better team.
They're a worse team to be a fan of than Buffalo.
I think Buffalo loses tonight, and they wake up tomorrow at 4-8-1.
Ooh.
They're thinking about making some changes.
I think so too. I mean, what's the shortest tenure a coach has ever had with the team?
No, Lindy's fine.
I know. Well, if you fire the GM, the coach is never fine.
I don't think you fire Kevin Adams, but you find him a new spot.
Oh, that's such cop-out, isn't it? It's like, now he's the assistant coach.
Can't just keep it as is.
No, you cannot.
Sometimes you got to make a change for the sake of making a change.
But the Pegulas seem to have given up on them. They're like, we're just the Bills ownership now.
Boy, the Bills rock.
Bills kind of rock.
They are awesome. I love the Bills. The other one I had tonight, Calgary Flames in Montreal. I don't love either the defensive cores and goaltending in either of these games. I think both these teams can score. Give me a high scoring one tonight. Give me the over 6.5 in Flames Habs.
You know, Kip has kind of quietly predicted meltdowns soon because you got Buffalo could happen. Montreal, we've talked a little bit about weirdness.
Marty St. Louis, he's got status until he doesn't want status as a head coach. Right. I think he's fine. They're not going to do anything there. Although, it's frustrating because I don't think anybody expected him to make the playoffs this year. But you got to show signs that the program's moving forward, and I'm not sure that's happened an awful lot there.
And Boston,
things
go south. I mean, there's some results coming up that could, hold bigger implications.
As we get closer to that magic
coach firing window.
American Thanksgiving.
And the last thing I have for tonight, Max Domi has yet to score. He is playing on the top line tonight with Matthew Nyes and Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. Give me a Max Domi goal tonight. +300.
So, like, I totally agree with, like, betting on Max Domi to score a goal. It's going to happen. Good line, whatever.
Yeah.
Bet365, we appreciate them. We love them. Their support for our show. Yeah. +300.
Oh.
That's no good.
It jumped out to me as a little low, but here's what I'll say. He's got to score eventually, right? And tonight's going to be...
They know that too, I guess.
Yeah, he's got to shoot one in, and he almost split the puck in two in the power play there, and he shot it so hard off the crossbar. So
he can't shoot. It's like Marner. When he gets a shot off, they can shoot it.
Yeah. So give me a Max Domi goal tonight at +300. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
You didn't give us anything on the presidential
election. Oh, yeah. You had that in the pre-show.
Come on. Give us something.
I can tell you. Hold on. Give me one second. Jeopardy music here.
Yeah, Donald J. US, Trump is US the
election,
favorite.
U.S. election.
The numbers.
Right now, Donald Trump is a -175 favorite, according to Bet365.
-188.
Kamala Harris is +150. So.
There you go. If you feel like betting on the election.
Yeah, if you feel like maybe happiness hedge either way, maybe a good way to go.
So only one of us on this panel, Des, got to vote.
Yes.
And it wasn't me.
And it certainly wasn't me.
And it wasn't Sammy.
You know, I'm a dual citizen, and I do cast a vote in the U.S., and you vote in the last place you lived. Last place I lived was in Chandler, Arizona, which is in Maricopa County, which I think there may be people pitchforking and coming down my street with torches. That's a hotly contested county. So I think they set one mail-in ballot box on fire a week ago or something.
Donald J. may call you.
Was your ballot on fire?
It very well could be. I don't know. But yes.
I was going to do a bad Trump impression. I can't do it.
Hope thank they're God not you roasting marshmallows right now.
I haven't seen what's going on down there, but
I will say
I am invested.
I love American politics coverage. Like I find the way they cover it so fascinating. And I like, you know, watching Leafs game tonight, but after Leafs talk, I'm settling in and getting the old CNN on and watching it all
you
night.
Could
watch,
Kornacki,
oh yeah, baby.
You could watch CNN like 6 months ago and you can watch it today. You wouldn't know the difference.
I know. It's just rinse, repeat.
Disagree.
Rinse, repeat,
tonight's the big show. Tonight's the where it's at.
Okay, obviously. But outside of that, yeah. All
the,
you've the had
debate
is just
and the night.
Repetition.
Yeah. 2 years
of
they've
it.
Been
just
campaigning.
Enough.
Yeah. You know what's really going to be nice? No more political ads during the football when I'm watching. Yeah. So looking forward to that too. Yeah. So, hey, it's going to be wild tonight.
Should be a night. Godspeed,
right,
everyone.
Let's take a quick break here. When we return, we'll touch a little bit on the Edmonton Oilers. We saw McDavid back on the ice. We'll get our thoughts on that as they move forward towards climbing out of a 500 hockey club.
And some depressing quotes out of Nashville. I caught a Ryan O'Reilly one for the later, but maybe a Nashville conversation too, because it does not sound great there right now.
Okay, perfect. We'll get into that more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Six Canadian teams in action tonight, with the exception of the Edmonton Oilers, who lost to New Jersey last night. They were McDavid-less.
Yeah.
But he is back on the ice, probably a little earlier than expected.
Mm-hmm.
Report had him out as much as 3 weeks, and yet, good sign that he's back out, or desperate sign?
No, we had Jason Smith on our show, orthopedic surgeon, a friend of the show here, and he talked about how this is the sort of injury that you can come back too early from. You know, it is possible. So I am curious to see what on the ice and skating versus actually returning to the lineup looks like. I don't think just because he's on the ice, it feels like he's back tomorrow night or anything.
Would you like to hear him talk about it?
Oh, I hope this doesn't contradict directly the things I just said.
It's most likely
did. We'll go to the second clip, please, Derek, is where he explains it more in detail.
When it first happens, obviously you're concerned that, you know, it's maybe something a little more serious. You know, but thankfully I got good news on it, and I've been doing everything possible to make it feel better. And I'm not just sitting around waiting for it to feel better. I'm doing a lot of different things, and obviously the team here, the medical team here, the staff here, everybody's great. And understanding that I'm always pushing to play and trying to find that balance.
Pushing to play, trying to find that balance.
I wonder how much that kind of influences everybody that he's pushing.
Well, I think it's great that he's pushing. I think too often we hear, you know, we cover the Leafs in the first hour.
He's pushing.
The past few years, people being very, very, very careful. It's good he wants to play.
They won a couple of games without him.
Yeah.
2-1 without him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
2-1. But yeah, that probably does put some pressure on them a little bit. I guess the question is, how desperate should they be? Like, I don't feel like if they lost a couple of more hockey games here, this whole thing is, we were talking to Sammy before the show. That Pacific Division is rot. It's just rot. Like, San Jose's no good. Anaheim's no good. Seattle, not very good at all. Flames starting to show their true colors. Like, they're just...
Yeah, blah.
Oilers are fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I don't...
They'll get their first-round matchup with the Kings and beat them in 5 games.
And off they go.
And off they go.
Thanks, Kings.
If they're a top in their division.
Yeah. Right? I mean, Vegas is legit.
There's a chance that they could play a tougher opponent.
I guess that's the big threat. Right? Is
close were they to playing Vegas?
Yeah, you don't want to play
year.
Dallas in round one or something, which is very possible if you scuffle for too long.
But you look at these. I'm just looking at the standings here in the Pacific. you would imagine that at by the end of the season here, it's going to be Vancouver and Edmonton fighting for that third spot.
Two, three.
And one of them will be a wild card team, and one of them will be the 2-3 spot.
I don't believe in the Kings like that. I think you look at Golden Knights probably win it. Vancouver, Edmonton, 2-3.
Mm.
Kings in that. Sneak in into a wild card.
Yeah, just
I could be wrong. Kevin Fiala, you know, they're not great. Trevor Moore's not been great. Byfield's not scoring at the rate they wanted him to. Not sure how their record is as good, but maybe they haven't been playing anyone. I'm wrong a lot. That's also true.
New Jersey looked pretty fast last night.
But they got to be the fastest team in the league.
Yeah.
Get NHL on
a game on
that.
Seen on Prime.
Did you see the video of Lomberg teeing off on Nathan Bastian from that game? I think it was over the weekend. Oh my God. You didn't see that?
No.
It was like a crowd shot. So it was like right on the glass. And he is legitimately standing there punching him in the face, like punching him like bang, 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 like 100 punches in the face. And they pan over to Nico Hischier. And he's just standing there, just watching his teammate get fed. And I'm like, oh, Sheldon.
So Hischier's the captain.
Yeah, Sheldon.
I wonder if Sheldon went from Toronto to Jersey and he's going, oh, come on. Come on, not again. Hischier is scoring a lot, but he's also had that happen before. So
I did see Lomberg on a television interview with no shirt on.
Yeah, the Lamborghini does not mess around.
Lomberg's a mutant. That's a guy that at the deadline, the Leafs would be sniffing around. I wouldn't mind.
I got traded to the Rangers. I did a in-between interview with just a gray ripped T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And before I could get back, Mark Messier gives me this one right here.
And really?
Yeah, he called me right over. He says, we don't do interviews without the jersey on.
I really love that.
Yep. And I'm like, buddy, I'll put my helmet on. I'll like,
put it on backwards.
I'll do it with my mouth guard. You just tell me whatever I need to do, and I'll do it. But
Willie hasn't had a tarp on in an interview.
Oh my God.
I only pictured Mark calling Lomberg into the room after he did the interview with no shirt on. Like
who's had more airtime for the Leafs this year, Craig Berube or Willie's nipples? it's got to be neck and neck.
Or nip and neck.
Little from column B.
God, times have changed, man.
Yeah.
I love that, though. Never heard that before.
Yeah.
But these guys just wear anything when they're getting interviewed. Actually, during that interview with McDavid, he had just come off the ice, and he was wearing, helmet, shoulder, like his whole getup or whatever, which is rare to see. And one of the questions in the interview was hilarious. They're like, did you get tripped or did you step on a stick? And he just looked at the reporter and he's like genuinely not trying to be, he's like, what's the difference? Yeah. What's the difference? incredibly confused by the question. Not at all.
And that's the difference is now the media needs somebody to blame. They need a culprit. They need, you're the best player in the world. You got hurt. We're canceling somebody right now. Like, who is it? Whose stick was it? Tell us.
Who to blame.
Who's to blame?
Yeah.
So, we got away from the main point there. Do you think if McDavid plays this weekend, it feels like it's a rushback? Because there was some talk about that. I know your seasons, but like you said, with the Pacific, has to be careful with ankles, man. You don't want to rush that. Yeah. How long did Marner miss last year with the high ankle? It was a long time,
yeah. Two, 3 weeks for sure.
Yeah, and he wasn't the same when he came back. It's a bad injury.
Never the same.
No, man.
And nobody ever really spoke of it.
We did. We talked about it at length.
But
nobody.
When they got knocked down game seven, and then they did the list of all the players that were hurt.
Mm-hmm. They didn't tell us what Matthews did. They didn't tell them what happened with Marner. They didn't tell us anything.
They did a bit of a laundry list, but it was just never, and Mitch's ankle was never 100%.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
But those things
linger.
For sure.
So, anyways.
I almost started singing Cranberries. Linger there. Glad I didn't. All right. So,
it's
a jam.
It's a banger.
Ryan O'Reilly is not pleased
with the
Nashville Predators situation. He is a leader.
They look lethargic.
They look like they took a mediocre team and added some slow people. That's kind of what I
think. That's not. That's not what you want to hear, but you're bang on.
Yeah. So here's a clip from Ryan O'Reilly evaluating his own performance in their last loss.
I know for myself, I was pathetic and just throwing pucks away and not, you know, moving with the puck and trusting my game. I know the guys probably felt that way too. It's just, you know, we're just kind of sitting, waiting and not, you know, working together and tight, and it's tough.
Called this game pathetic.
I got to tell you too, I listened to that whole scrum. That was his fourth answer of absolutely burying himself and the team.
Really?
Like, that wasn't, like, the only thing he said in that. Yeah. Like, he said in one of the other clips, it's the worst game he's ever played in his life.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like, he was so hard on himself and on the team, too. Like, he would start by eviscerating himself and then kind of make it about the team and then go back to himself and then go to the team. Like, he was – it's as candid as I've heard a guy crapping on himself and the team in an interview in a long time.
Yeah.
Pathetic the way I've been playing.
Oh. 2 years ago, they were also a team that you said just needed to take a step back and regroup.
Yeah.
And then they had a great push towards the end of last season.
Sphere cancellation, right? Baby. 18 straight games to the point.
And then Trotz goes and opens the checkbook up to all these guys, including obviously Stamkos. And too much too soon?
Well, I'll tell you what buries them more than anything else is the success of Winnipeg and Minnesota to start this year. Because going into this year, you look at the Central and you say, Dallas is going to be good. Colorado's probably going to be pretty good. Last year, Nashville made playoffs, 99 points. They got better. They expected to be, you know, kind of in that upper echelon. With Winnipeg and Minnesota being this good early, God, it's a big climb now. Like, they're not going to get over Dallas. Winnipeg and Minnesota have run away with it a little bit here. Colorado's going to get better. It gets really hard for them now.
Really?
Athletic has them at 35% chance via Dom Lecision's model, I believe.
35% chance?
To make playoffs.
The Stamkos and Philip Forsberg.
Lower than you thought?
I thought it would be lower than that.
Oh, really, yeah?
Is Stamkos and Philip Forsberg very similar players? Is that...
Oh, you think they're both shooters? Forsberg. I mean, he scores a lot. But yeah, it could be there's some conflict there. I mean, could it be...
Power play I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. There's just a... Like many teams, like, you can have great talented players and all individually sound, but put them all together and it just doesn't click. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's... I mean, we were talking about Lindholm going to Boston playing with Pasternak. It's like it just, for whatever reason, has not been there.
Macklin Celebrini back tonight after being hurt for a couple weeks.
Draymond Green did a press conference wearing a Celebrini jersey yesterday.
That's awesome.
I love that. I think that's
awesome. Great
Every crossover. Game I've seen of San Jose, it's like empty.
Yeah, so they
are... Oh, the rink is empty?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the seats.
I want to say they're second last behind, who is it? But yeah, in attendance, they're getting like 12,000 fans a game or something. Like, it's real bad.
That was a once very proud franchise.
Well, all they did was win forever.
Win and sell out.
Yeah. And do you know how many games Macklin Celebrini's played?
No.
He has one game. Played in one game, and he's got one goal, one assist for 2 points.
All right, he's
on back. He's on a good pace.
Yeah, they need him, clearly.
So, I mean, that is something, though, that... He's a first overall pick. That's something to watch. At least makes him somewhat interesting. But, boy, they have so much work to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like they get a lot of credit for some reason, like
rebuild.
I don't
love the full teardown.
No, they stink.
Yeah, I get the idea that you need stars in markets like that. So, sure, you went out and got Celebrini, and hopefully he becomes one. But it's a long way back to winning from where they are right now.
Good for Tyler Toffoli, man.
Get that money.
Love it.
Yeah.
Couple of cops.
Barkley Goodrow ended up there. He wasn't very happy when they got claimed.
Hey, I was looking at the attendance figures around the league. Winnipeg getting 12,000 fans a game, too. I know you've talked about
that. That was a Sunday, I think. They
sold out the Leafs game. That was their first sellout this year. And last year, they didn't sell out any games till late December. So it's better than last year.
Listen, Winnipeg. There's a tough time, you know, in certain areas of the country, more so than others. But
Kip, they're winning right now.
It has nothing to do with someone that has higher priorities on where their dollar goes.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about winning and losing. It's not about being entertaining. It's not about anything but how far can a family of four stretch a dollar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
And it's just not on the priority list right now.
Utah, I think, fairly low in attendance just based on the size of their rink. They also have like a 15,000 seat or so.
Yeah.
Tougher spot there.
I think people are still trying to adjust in this country to the streaming and the...
Yeah, and the, I should say attendance way out, or is very high in the NHL, 96% like, capacity on average.
Canadians
very
are having high. A tough time, I think, realizing that streaming's becoming a bigger part of professional sports.
Mm-hmm. Have you had trouble accessing?
No, I'm okay.
Services?
I'm all right.
Yeah,
but others, I think, are challenged as well.
Yeah, it's different. It's different with when things get chopped up. And I know Sammy talking about Blue Jays games. It's on Apple
today.
And he's like, yeah,
I know we've had this. And I know that we've had this discussion, but like, I think we're considered like streaming snobs where like, I want to change the channel to something else.
To the
and
other
I,
games.
And I, or yeah, to the other games. And now I got to exit out of my app and I got to like.
Honestly, Kip.
It's driving me nuts.
Like it's the number one thing. That's the only thing I don't like about it. It's because I'm a serial flicker. I'm
yes.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, bang, 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 commercial break, whistle break. Like I am flying around every night.
Can't.
That's the only thing.
I watched the full warm-up on Prime last night. Wow. I did. I watched
anyone go bar down?
Oh, several people.
Oh, wow.
You like that? Just no sound and just watching the warm-up?
Like's not the word.
When I was a kid.
What are you waiting for? Someone to step on a puck or trip or something?
It's a curiosity.
When I was a kid, man, there was nothing like warm-up. When you'd go to
a game
and watch warm-up, oh my God.
I used to like the very few times I found tickets, you went up to the glass at Maple Leaf Gardens and just put your arm around the glass. It was so short. Mm-hmm. That you could hang a program.
Grab a player.
No, but hang a program, and the guys would just come and sign the program along the glass. Yep.
Wow,
I couldn't even see anything. It'd be just like you clip the pen to the piece of paper, and you hope one of the pros sign it.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
I love that. Yeah, warm-up's so cool. You get to see, you know, in a game, William Nylander might have the puck for 45 seconds.
Yeah.
In warm-up, he has it for 4 to 5 minutes, and you get to watch him handle it, shoot it. See, you know, it's a good skill showcase.
You mentioned the Blue Jays. Rare Blue Jays check-in for me because I'm also wearing the hat,
rocking
I know, but I'm a dumb fan. GM Ross Atkins, we're going to have to be creative to build a bullpen this offseason.
Oh, boy.
We're going to sign not good players and hope they have
We're
going
to have to get creative is never what you want to hear about your ball squad, boy. It's going to tell you.
Does that mean there's no cash?
I don't know.
I think they got so many holes to fill. You can't spend it all in one place.
Oh, God.
You got some work to do.
Busy night.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, Broberg, 4 to 6 weeks, right leg injury. We didn't mention
that. That's way better than probably what you envisioned watching him getting carted off the ice Saturday night.
That sucks.
Criminal Mitch Marner.
Yeah. It was good. He had good physical play, and he didn't back down from somebody on Sunday. Maybe it's a new Mitch Marner. Is this a new happy-go-lucky?
Oh, this is just the new look.
Yeah, the new look. Leafs, you know, Matthews. Maybe that's how he hurt himself. He punched Ryan Suter so hard. He's never done it before, so he's hurt his shoulder. That's maybe what happened.
Very possible.
Yeah.
All right. Several Canadian games tonight, Kip. We got Ottawa and Buffalo, Calgary and Montreal, Toronto and Boston. Give me a few predictions. Let's start with Ottawa-Buffalo.
I will take Ottawa by 2 goals.
Okay, handy one there. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. Leafs-Boston.
Leafs-Boston. I'll take the Leafs in overtime.
Ooh, an OT win.
Yeah.
Sam, you want to get your picks in on these?
No. I don't.
Thanks for your input.
And I never do this, by the way.
I know.
Never do it.
And Calgary-Montreal. Calgary kind of going in the wrong direction a little bit.
They've cooled off.
Plug your ears, Calgary listeners, because I love you. They may have been wrong about your team. They might suck. They might not be very good.
They just come down
so
to earth a little bit.
The problem is,
they're okay.
Calgary.
It's okay to be where you want to be.
They are who we thought they were. You know,
all right.
And then 5 games threw us off.
All those predictions reminds us that this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365.
Yes,
okay. Enjoy your games, everybody. And we're back tomorrow to do it all over again on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.